night. Saturday night. Amen. We're in church. Amen. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. People are going to get the idea that you guys are a bunch of fanatics. Been here every night, parking lot, good turnout out there. I mean, that's the witness. And been a good one to people that drive up and down that road. And it's been good in here. And Saturday night, we got a good crowd in here tonight. Let me tell you this first, though. A preacher's son had gotten his license recently and was learning to drive. And he began to talk to his dad about maybe the possibility of getting a car, coming up with all kinds of ideas. Oh, I could help with the errands. You wouldn't have to take me here and there and all that. You know how it is. And so the dad, he seized the opportunity right then and said, well, son, I got a couple things I'm going to have to ask of you before I can even consider it. And one of them is you're going to have to get your grades up. See, dads see those opportunities and go for them. He said, you're going to need to get your grades up. And the next thing, too, you know, I'm gonna have to see some spiritual growth in you too. And the kids, then they're going, yes, Dad, I'll do it, Dad, whatever I got to do. And so Dad really decided to go for the gusto. He said, son, also, you're gonna have to get a haircut. Amen. And the kid just looked at him and said, okay. So he's not getting the nod he wanted from that conversation. But it comes back a month later, just a month later. He says, Dad, I've been thinking about it, and I come to talk to you about getting a car again. And Dad's a fair man. He says, well, son, I have to admit, I've noticed you studying and working hard on your grades, and your grades are better, and I appreciate you doing that. And truth of the matter is, I've been watching you in the spiritual matters as well, and praying and reading your Bible. And I've seen some improvement there, and I'm pleased there too. And the kid, you know, he's grinning from ear to ear. He's happy. But then the dad says, but you know, son, I've also noticed you still haven't got a haircut. And truth of the matter is, now you need one even more than ever. And the kid said, well, Dad, I've noticed some things as I studied my Bible like you asked me to do. I noticed this, Dad. I noticed that Moses, Noah, even Jesus had long hair. And the dad said, well, that's an astute observation there, son. Did you also notice they walked everywhere they went? Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that one. Let me see. Take your Bible. Go to Proverbs 25 tonight. Proverbs 25 tonight. And we're going to look at one verse for now. Verse 25. Proverbs 25:25, the Bible says this, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I don't know about you, but I'm in the mood for some good news. Amen. And but you know, the Bible teaches by repetition, by contrast, and by comparison, and that's what you got going on here. He gives us a comparison with something you know about, like cold water, and then setting you up to go into the point he's trying to make, and that's good news from a far country. Let me say first of all, water refreshes like nothing else. It enables you to think clearly. It gives you the strength to keep going. And so does good news tonight, by the way. And cold water will give you the strength to go on. And it's absolutely necessary. That's what I want. Absolutely necessary to sustain life. And I don't know if you're allowed to say this in a Baptist church, but truth of the matter is, it's more important than food. Okay, I know. I lost some of you already. There. Okay. Cold water quenches thirst like nothing else. Better than soda pop. You might like soda pop, but truth of the matter is, do you guys ever have like hot days? Or is it like always like this? I don't know. And but if you ever got really hot, I got news for you. Cold water refreshes better than soda pop or fruit juice. Or I remember back in the old days, the lost days, and guys at work and couldn't wait to go have a cold beer. I'm going to tell you what, a cold beer doesn't quench thirst. Nothing quenches thirst like water. Now, some of you have been down in Florida, and they got something down there they claim is the drink that was probably in the Garden of Eden. They call it sweet tea. Sweet tea. And listen, I got news for you. It tastes good. If you saw how much sugar goes in that thing when they're making it, you know why it tastes good. But truth of the matter is, it does not quench thirst. Amen. Somebody said, oh, Brother Spurgeon, I feel sorry for you. You're from up north. I don't know if that'll work here, but Ohio anyway. And they said, hey, you don't have sweet tea up there. And I said, sure we do. And they said, you do? And I said, yeah, we just call it pancake syrup where I come from. Amen. But it says, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And truth of the matter is, we're going to have to go to a far country to get some good news. But I'm glad that we can. We'll pray and then go to Hebrews 13. I'm sorry, 11. But let's pray first. Father, I do love you tonight. I thank you, God, again, for the liberty we have to gather here and for folks that will make exception to their busy lives to come to church. And, God, we're under no misconception why they're here. And I pray you give them the desires of their heart. I pray you'd speak to them in a way so that it'll be true to be able to be said that it was good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Father, I pray you'd help me say what you want said and stay focused. And Lord God, at the end of it, may you be pleased. And Lord, may your Son be glorified. And I just love you tonight. I thank you for the friendship of Brother Stevens and his family and Blessed Hope Baptist Church and the honor and privilege to come here. And Lord God, I pray if you continue to tarry that, Lord God, this friendship will continue until you take us home. Lord, please, I pray you manifest yourself mightily tonight, and we'll give you the honor and glory for that if it could happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, I don't know if that's what I said or not, but that's what I meant. Hebrews 11, I told church one night, I said, take your Bible and go to 2 Titus. I don't know what I was thinking. And, of course, as soon as I said it, I realized that it was wrong and chuckled and looked up. And some, like you just did, chuckled. But some were looking for it. I thought that was interesting. I said, when you find it, would you please raise your little hand and we'll get you a King James Bible. Amen. But it's Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look in verse 13. And it says, these all died in faith. Now, the these is Abel in verse 4 and Enoch in verse 5. And it goes down the list with Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and even Sarah's mentioned there and others in this chapter about faith. And it says these all died, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And I'll tell you what, I feel more like a stranger and a pilgrim down here every single day. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And it said, verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. You know why people return to the old life? It's because they continue to be mindful of it. That's why you burn bridges. You burn bridges. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things I become new. And when you burn the bridges with the old life, and oftentimes the old associates, and sometimes even family members that'll bring you down, amen, then you won't have opportunity to return. You burn bridges tonight, and the old life doesn't catch up with you, and you're not tempted to go back. It says there that they had, if they'd have been mindful of that country from whence it came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. We're talking about some good news from a far country, and I beloved tonight, it is a far country, and like the preacher already said, we could be there quicker than we think. Amen. But let's just preach about it for a few minutes tonight. Take your Bible, go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Talking about good news coming out of a far country. And it says this in verse 2. Revelation 21 and verse 2. And it says this, and I, John, saw the holy city. See, God prepared a city. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He's prepared a city. It says here, New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Isn't that an interesting comparison for this city? It is to give us a glimpse, perhaps, in a way that our little finite mind can process of just how beautiful it's going to be, because there is never a day that a lady wants to be more beautiful than the day as a bride she's presented to her husband. Take it from somebody that's financed two daughters getting married. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. Here tonight. And look in verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Let me say to you tonight that no city that has ever been built by mankind, I'm talking about in the entire history of the human race, not Babylon, not Athens, no city of Persia, not Rome in its heyday, nothing Pharaoh had, can even begin to compare to this city that has been prepared by God. Now, we're talking about good news tonight, and I want to say to you, I don't know, I like to travel. It comes in handy with my job. I didn't get called into evangelism because I like to travel. I was quite content to work in the jail and juvenile ministry in Dayton, Ohio. But it was God's idea. And since I surrendered to God's ideas, then it just works out fine. Whatever he does is okay with me. But I've seen some things. And I just, listen, I'm looking forward to seeing that. Right there. That city that God prepared, that God built. And I got good news for you. You might be like me. You might enjoy traveling. Maybe you've seen some things. You want some good news? If you're saved in here tonight, one day you're going to see that. Right now we're reading about it. But, hey, good news. It is to me. One day you're going to get to see that thing for yourself. It gets better now. One day, if you're saved, you're going to get to live there. Forever. Amen. I don't know if that don't trip your trigger, I don't know what. You need a new firing pin or something. Amen. Amen. Good news from a far country. That's the introduction. Let's get to the message here. Look at verse 22. We're in Revelation 21, and we're talking about some good news from a far country. And so we're going to look at that far country and just see if we can't get some good news out of there. I think we can. I mean, you're not going to get it off Fox News or CNN. Is that what it is? Or MSLSD. I mean, I've heard that stuff called, I don't even know. anymore. Amen. I can't keep up with it. I don't, probably because I don't try. But I tell you what, there's some good news to be found in that book about a far country tonight, that my name then, and so is yours if you're saved, and I'm happy to report tonight that if you're saved, you're signed, sealed, waiting to be delivered. But till then, we'll look and see what the Bible has to say about it. Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, so when you run across somebody that doesn't believe they've ever done anything wrong enough to end up in hell, before you take them back to the Old Testament and feel some need to go to the Ten Commandments like some say you gotta do, my Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned to come short of the glory of God, and to erase any possibility of any vagueness about what that is, right here we have the definition of the glory of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I mean, on a person's best day, listen, by society standards, it might be the best person in town. Nobody's going to be judged according to society standards. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of God. That's what we're talking about, Jesus Christ. Let me give you some good news. If you're saved, well, you're going to see Him. You're going to get to see Him. You're going to get to see the one that 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, died for you. You're going to see the one that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says became sin for you. It's one thing to think of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for our sins. But boy, it says, for it made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Talk about a sacrifice. We can't comprehend it, but we ought to just try. Amen. That Bible says, over there in Titus chapter 2, it says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Amen. That He might redeem us from, come on, all iniquity. Bible said He's the author and finisher of our faith. And over there in Song of Solomon chapter 2, it says He's the rose of Sharon. That's who we're talking about. Listen, we read about Him. We pray to Him. We sing about Him. Listen, I hope you talk to Him. I hope you talk to Him about this very service tonight. But I got some good news from a far country. One of these days, if you're saved, one of these days you're not just going to get to see Him, beloved. You're going to meet Him. You're going to meet the rose of Sharon. It says He's the lily of the valleys. Plural. We sing the song, He's the lily of the valley. But I got good news for you tonight. He's the lily of every valley. You know what that means? That means the Lord that got you through the last struggle, the last tragedy, the last trial, He's the same one that's going to get you through the next one. He's the lily of the valleys, every one of them. He's the Son of Righteousness and the Prince of Peace. And the Bible says the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says He's the Alpha and the Omega, one of my personal favorites, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. I like that. I've read about Him and sang about Him and talked to Him. I'm looking forward to meeting Him. Aren't you? Aren't you? You know what we're going to know on that day? Now, if you don't get a hold of it, now if you're saved, praise the Lord, you had enough sense to admit you were a sinner. You had enough sense to believe in your heart that God had raised Him from the dead. I mean, God really did make salvation pretty simple. Yeah, He had to. Nothing else was working. So he came up with salvation by grace through faith. Amen. And if you're sitting there, you had enough sense to get honest enough to admit you were a sinner. But I tell you what, I run into people all the time, amen, that just don't seem to be able to grasp the fact that the lovely Lord that went through all that for us, we kind of like owe him something. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you don't get a hold of that between now and when you stand before him, that day you see the scars, that day you see the holes, that day you're going to know that you owed him a debt. You know what's going to happen? This is going to happen for every one of us. We're going to wish we'd have done more. Amen. I mean, if God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, if God cared about souls that much, if the Lord Jesus Christ cared about souls that much, boy, the day we see Him, we're going to wish we'd have cared about souls just a little bit more. Problem is, it'll be too late to do anything about it. You want some good news? It's not too late to do something about it now. If we could just get a hold of what He did to save the likes of us, maybe it would be a little harder for the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I get in the way of us really doing something that would please our Savior. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so it's good news from a far country. And to me, I'll tell you, it's good news that heaven is real, and I'm going to see it. But I'll tell you what, more important than that is getting to see Him. That's good news. And I'll tell you what else. Go to Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And look with me in verse number 11. There's something going on here now. And this is going to be going on. So if you don't come out of your shell between now and then, you're going to come out of it then. Here's what's going on up there. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And a number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Now, some of you, you have little smartphones. And you can probably get out your little calculator and you can figure that out. 10,000 times 10,000. Seth was amazed that I have a smartphone. And I said, yeah, now I have a wife and a phone that's smarter than I am. Big deal. Amen. Didn't help me much. But I'm going to tell you what, he's got this thing set up in such a way that your little smartphone can't do the math on thousands of thousands. So I'm going to help you. Yeah, I did some diligent Bible study and cross-referenced this right here to Daniel chapter 7. Prepare to be impressed. You want to know how many that is? It's a lot. Yeah, that's all I can come up with. I mean, I know, you're impressed. I'm glad we took the offering before I laid that on you. Here's what they're doing now. Verse 12, it says, saying with a loud voice. See, it's scriptural. Yeah. Yeah, we had a little girl at our house, and stay in our house, a little three-year-old one time, and she goes up to my wife and says, I don't like your dad about me. And when my wife got up off the floor rolling in laughter, she said, well, why, honey? Why don't you like him? And she said, he's loud. And he has stickers all over him. Amen. I wish they were stickers. Amen. But it's scriptural. It's scriptural. To praise God, it says, saying with a loud voice, watch this, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Let me help you. That's a good place for an amen right there. And riches. Ooh. What is that? Was it painful? I mean, I don't know. And wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. How about now? Okay. And I was going to try it again, but I'm not going to. And it says in verse 13, and every creature was it which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, all that are in them, heard I say, come on, help me out, blessing and honor and glory and power. Amen. Amen. I need a little sign. We need flashing lights. We'll get them next time. It says, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Okay. What's going on there? That's true worship. Now, we put it on our sign. We put it in our bulletins or whatever you have. Worship service between, you know, we put God in this little time frame, this little box. Jack Wood said one time, God's not going to fit in your little box. And then he said, if you ever got him in there, he'd kick the ends out and walk off with the box. I like that. That's old Texas thinking. Amen. One of these days, you want some good news from a far country? When we get there, we're going to see true worship. Chapter 4 and verse number 8, and the Bible says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, over and over and over, day and night. Listen, what are they doing? Hey, they're giving the Lamb of God the worship He deserves. And we're going to get in on that. We got a little mixed up idea down here, I mean, as a human race about worship. But I've read my Bible through a few times and I don't find anybody following the bouncing ball across the screen while singing Kumbaya over and over again. There's going to be places all over this city tomorrow, then that's what they're going to be doing in the name of worship. There's places in this town and in every town where worship has something to do with flipping beads and repeating prayers vainly over and over and over. But beloved, it's not that way in the Bible. It's not true worship. I'm going to tell you something else. It's not. Not a bunch of Baptists just half-heartedly mouthing words to songs like The Blood Still Saves or The Dungeon Flamed with Light and The Glorious Thought of Their Sins. Man, we've been singing some of these hymns so long, we don't even look at what we're singing anymore. We're picking our nose and playing with our kids and out in space and checking our... No, you better not be. There is more sound doctrine in that hymnal than there is in them new Bibles. And we are used to it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, a day's coming in the future of a believer where we're going to see true worship. Amen. And we're going to get in on it. I don't know about you, that's good news. I've been practicing. Amen. Some of you are going to go to, when you get to heaven, you're going to go to, this is David Spurgeon theology. I'll give you that up front. You're going to have to go to St. Peter will meet you, of course. Everybody knows that. And he's going to meet you and he's going to say, oh, yeah, your name's Hillary. You're going to go to worship 101 for about 1,000 years. And you're going to say, well, I'm going to go in there where Jesus is. He said, well, you know, come on, you won't even know what to do. And then the rest of us are going, oh, I see you've been practicing for 60, 70 years. Just go right on in. That's just my thinking, amen. Difference between me and somebody else is I'll admit it if it's just my idea. Other people try to make doctrine out of things that aren't Bible. Well, amen. Go back to chapter 21. We're in the book of Revelation. That's the place where you'll hear some things and learn some things and see some things about the far country where there's some good news. There's some good news tonight that we can get from there. Revelation 21, look at verse 4. Good news from a far country. It says this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Amen. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. And it tells you why. For the former things are passed away. I don't know about you, that's good news. That's good news to me. There's no economic crisis there. There's no prodigals. There's no devil's music. Some of us, we got to put up with some stuff at work. Well, I don't, but amen? You're not going to hear anybody taking the Lord's name in vain. I was at a place one time, and boy, the guy was, and I finally said, hey, listen, pal, God's last name is not damn. Amen. I'll be glad when we come to the place where people, there won't be any of that going on. Amen. As a matter of fact, in verse 27, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Everything will be clean and decent and honorable and lovely and pure and just, like Paul told us to think on. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, we won't have to work at it. That's all there is. You want some good news from our country? These things, they're realities of life. They're not realities of heaven. The former things are passed away. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. I long for that far country, don't you? Let me give you something else. I'll read you this one. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I got some good news. Your relatives, your loved ones, your friends that died in Christ, they are safe and sound. I'm talking about, I don't know about you, that's good news. Now, I got a lot of people that I cared about in the other place, and that's a reality too. And I'm glad there'll be no more memory of that once all things are passed away. But it isn't the Lord's fault. But I'm going to tell you what, your loved ones that died in Christ are safe and sound. They're present with the Lord. That's not because I want them to be or feel like they should be. It's just what the Bible says. And I don't know about you, I like that. I like that. You know, my wife gave her testimony this morning. She talked about Brother Hanstein and her first husband, and he was my dear friend, and he was my Bible teacher, and he's a Vietnam War vet, and those of you that were here, he was shot in the back in 1970, and spent a total of 28 years in a wheelchair. Amen. Finest Christian I ever knew in my entire life. This week I brought you my Unshackled testimony on CD, and it's on record here in your church's computer. And tonight we brought in Brother Hanstein's Unshackled testimony as well. And if you, some of you ladies that heard it, the testimony, maybe your husbands, they want to hear that. And it's available to you. Brother Hanstein wrote a gospel tract. It's called A Message from the Gates of Hell. And it's on my website, along with my testimony and hers. It's davidspurgeon.org. That's about as easy as it can get. And it occurred to me that my wife's been married twice, and both her husbands have had unshackled and written her own track. And so next time I meet somebody that's been on unshackled, I'm going to be keeping an eye on them. Or has their own track, you know. Isn't that strange? But listen, when I went into evangelism in 1997, Brother Hanstein had recently been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And as a member of our home church and the dean of our Bible Institute and a dear friend, everywhere I went, every prayer letter, the first thing was a prayer request to pray for Brother Mike and the Hanstein family and Susan and the kids. And everywhere I went, that was the first thing I'd say, pray. And a year or so went by after that, and I went back to a little church in Georgia down in Fort Benning, and I got in the pulpit, and the first thing I had to say, I had to deal with that, and I said, I'm happy to report tonight that God healed Brother Hahnstein. People went, whoa, wow, it's a miracle. We didn't think there was a cure for Lou Gehrig's disease. I got news for you. God's got a cure for everything. January 8, 1998, he stepped out of a hospital bed into the presence of his Lord. And he's safe and sound, and he's not in a wheelchair anymore. That's good news. My mom got cancer, my biggest fan. The lady that stayed right enough with God 20 years while I was out there in that world. And I tell you, one of the hardest things I ever did was stand over her coffin and preach the gospel. But the comfort that I got from knowing where she is and that I would see her again, I don't know about you, that helps me. My dad was 89 years old. He is diagnosed with some kind of blood cancer, I guess they'd call it. Had a big, long name. Took treatments 45 miles from where he lived in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee for over a year. He'd drive himself up there by himself, 89, 90, 91. When he was 89, he bought a new Mercury, you know, to go to the hospital. He said, Dave, one day I went to visit him. I visited him often in Tennessee, and he said, David, you know that stretch they call Walker Flats between Lawrenceburg and Columbia? About a couple of miles straight, four lane, straight as an arrow, smooth. And I said, yeah, Dad, I know the stretch. He said, that marquee out there, it'll do 120 miles an hour. This was 3 months before he died. He was 91 years old. And my dad tells me that. I couldn't believe it. I said, Dad, 40 years ago, you were telling me to slow down. Dad, I'm asking you, slow down. He just laughed. He had tell you what, my dad's not going to treatments anymore. He's with my mom, Brother Mike, folks you know, present with their Lord. I tell you what, that helps me. See, they've been through the valley. They've been through the shadow of death. We're the ones that are in the valley. They're safe. They're sound. They're better off than we are. Amen. Amen. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Amen. I take your Bible, go to Revelation 20. You might be there. I am. Right there across the page. You want some good news? The devil is finally going to get what he's got coming to him. That's good news. Amen. Now, before I was doing this evangelism all the time, I was in a jail ministry, going to jail, county jails and stuff, there at home all every week. And one jail, we walked the catwalk. One jail, they came to a room, you know, prisoners came to a room. But this one jail, we go to the, walk the catwalk and visit the different ranges. And that was interesting because I said, oh, this is what it's like on this side. And so one time I was up there and I had a group here. And it wanted, you know, talk to the preacher, and now I'm preaching, and you may not have noticed this, but if I'm talking to six guys here, I want everybody on the floor to hear me. And I got the ability to. So, you know, and so I talked to these guys, and I had to go to another group, and I can see them down the way, and they're standing there leaning out, and I can see their hands. I know where I'm supposed to go. There's a group, there's a range in between that nobody wanted anything spiritual at all. So I got done here, and it's time, and I got to go down there. And as I'm walking past this center one where there's nobody even in sight, a couple guys are in their cells, somebody, some brain surgeon yells out, I worship Satan! So he don't show himself. You know, he just yells that. So I thought to myself, I got to talk to this guy. So I go down to the cell where they're waiting, and I said, could you guys excuse me for a minute? And they, like, look at each other, and they went, yeah, and I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. What choice do you have? And I walked back down to this open area, and I read this verse, Revelation chapter 20. I thought he needed a message, and so I chose this verse 10 for my text. And I read it, and it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." That was my text. And here's the message. You worship a loser! I didn't even give an invitation. I just went on down. I'll tell you what, that guy's been giving the human race the blues ever since the human race showed up. And one of these days, he's going to get what he's got coming. And I'm glad. I'm glad. Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing the enemy of everything righteous finally reap what he sowed. It's a sad truth that he's done plenty of damage while he could. And he's convinced some that, even believers, that they can play around with sin and they're going to be the exception. Really? I'll tell you what you're going to be. You're going to be an illustration. And we don't need material that bad. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And I know, and somebody's talked to me. They said, "Well, you preachers say that, but I've been doing this." And I said, "Oh, and you think because the hammer's not come down on you that you're getting away with it?" I said, "Son, you are experiencing the unbelievable mercy of God, who gives us opportunities after opportunities to get things right. Listen, if the Lord's dealing with you about something, if there's something going on in your life, some sin, amen, if you're dabbling with something and you know it's wrong, amen, but listen, if God's dealing with you, could I say to you, get it right, get it confessed, get it under the blood while you can. Don't make God reveal it." Well, it's just between you and him. He'd rather settle things that way. It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I'm going to tell you what, if we don't, he's still faithful and just. Now, I'm looking forward to seeing the devil get what he's got coming, but boy, I tell you what, that day hasn't come yet. And some, even concerning getting right with God, they talk themselves into thinking, "Well, I got plenty of time." That's a lie of the devil, too. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And nobody knows how much time they got. But I know this. He's given another opportunity tonight. Amen? There's something needs to be confessed and got right. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, he's giving you another chance. I'd sure advise you to take him up on it. Amen. The Bible says the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And boy, there's plenty of them out there these days. Folks that think, "Well, I don't need to worry about salvation because I'm a pretty good person, and surely I'll..." Listen, I said it already. You could be the best person in town, but you've come short of Jesus Christ. And it's a lie of the devil that you don't need salvation. Jesus Christ went to the cross to make a way for your sins to be paid for. If you could get into heaven any other way, what in the world was Calvary about? It was about making a way for you to escape. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I'm glad, no matter what's going on, I'm glad we can go to the Bible and get some good news. I was in a church one time, and one of the brothers was, he was a little down the first night, I don't know what you say, kind of quiet, and, Maybe he had something on his mind. Maybe he was tired. I don't know. Second night, third, and I've known this guy for years. So by the third night, I said, "Hey, brother," I said, "is there something I can pray about?" And also, he unloaded, man, and he started talking about, you know, what's going on in Iran and what's going on in the Mideast and what's going on in the government and what's going on here. And I said, "Brother, I said, I got some advice for you. You need to turn the stinking radio and the television off, man. It has robbed you of your joy." This guy used to go out on the street. This guy used to hand out tracts, but he was consumed with the mess. Let me tell you something. It is a mess. Whether all that, some of that far-out, wild conspiracy stuff's right or wrong, if our orders haven't changed. So when we're wondering what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to stay in the fight. And when there's no good news to be got from anywhere else, there's still some about that far country. If you're saved, you're going there. Matter of fact, it might be sooner than you think. And the Bible says in Revelation 4 and verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." I don't know, man. I think pretty soon we're going to hear some good news. I think the Lord's going to descend. I think stage is set for us to go. Amen. That's good news, isn't it? If you're saved, it's good news if you're saved. I'm going to tell you what, you better be. Because if you miss that right there, you get left behind right there. It has never been easier to get saved than it is right now. Never. And it never will be again either. Amen? Want some good news? If you're not saved, I got some good news for you. There is still room for your name in the book of life. Yeah. The Bible says the Lord's not willing that any should perish. Amen? The Bible says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That offer's been on the table for 2,000 years almost. And it's on the table tonight. And if you're in here and you're not saved, chances are if you're here on a Saturday night, you probably know what you need to do. And if not, I'm sure we can make it real clear to you. But you're going to have to make a move. He's already done his part. And he'll do his part if you call on him tonight from an honest heart. That's good news. Not too late. And I'm going to tell you something. That same Bible also says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, cast into the lake of fire. Now you better make sure you're in the right whosoever while you have a chance. Good news from a far country. Let's stand. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for the liberty, Lord, and the truth, the Word of God. And I pray that the message would be a help and a blessing and encouragement to someone in here tonight. If there's someone in here that's not saved, I pray you make it easy for them to see that they don't have any promise that they could even wait as long as tomorrow. Pray that maybe you convict their heart. Let one of us open the Bible and show them what it says. Father, maybe somebody in here messing around with some things they know they ought not. I'd encourage them. I'd pray that God, maybe your Spirit would bear witness to the urgency of the need to get that thing right. And Father, help us all to grasp the fact that you went to a great distance to make a way for our sins to be forgiven, but not ours only. And perhaps, Lord, that this glimpse, Lord, would give us a burden to try to do our part concerning what you left us here to do. Let our light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Love you tonight, Lord. Have your way in what's done and said. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Maybe for you tonight, maybe you're one of those folks that Brother Spurgeon hinted at, for whom the truth to you has meant that that you have been exposed to all the dark things ahead of us, all the darkness of wickedness, deceit, and all manner of other things in this life. Things are so wrong, so bad, that it's robbed you of your commission. It's robbed you of your joy. You worry and fret and stew and steam. Think about it, gripe about it, talk about it. And you know how to say amen when we talk about heaven. But really the joy has been stolen. And the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ that He left you is not tapped into anymore because of all the darkness and all the bad news. Now, brethren, there's good news from a far country. I can't say it any better. I can't sum it up any more than Brother Spurgeon already has. Maybe part of repentance for your own personal revival revolves around you coming down and apologizing to the Lord for letting bad news wear you down to a nub where you don't have any joy anymore and you can't find any energy to do anything positive for the Lord Jesus Christ because things are just so dark and you just can't see that it's doing any good. Hey, it may be that you're lost. I know most of you, a lot of you. Maybe somebody in here has never been born again. Listen, I hope you'll consider coming down, not so that we can make a public spectacle of you by any stretch, but that you'd consider coming down and just letting us know that you have some questions, would like some direction, perhaps some prayer. We can settle all that in private. Be happy to offer you a side room with one of our men or ladies, depending on what you are, just to go over some Bible verses and settle what the promises of God really are for you. If you've never been saved, why don't you come? If you're a Christian and you are saved, and maybe your joy is less than it's been, maybe the ebb of it has ebbed down, why don't you come reestablish that? Number 334, let's look this way. Most of you know the song by heart as it is. We sing it pretty often. Thank you. guys could come tonight, all of you. Appreciate the visitors that are here. Hope you'll come back tomorrow. We'll start at 9:45 in the morning. Sunday school, then church, and then Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Look forward to seeing you. Let's have a word of prayer to be dismissed. Father, grateful for what we heard tonight. Grateful for visitors. Thank you, Father, for this week. We're glad the week's not over yet. Still have a full day to go. We look forward to 3 messages tomorrow. And, Father, I pray you give Brother Spurgeon a good rest tonight. It'll be a long pull tomorrow, Lord, for him. I pray that you'll help him in that. We pray once again that you would honor the prayers, the fasting that went into this week, the preparatory work that went into this week spiritually. For those of us that prayed, some fasted. And Father, we pray that there might yet be rewards to be reaped from these meetings. We look forward for the continuation of them tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everybody.